You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning, everybody. As we've been hearing this morning in the news, the biggest insurance company in the world, turns out, has one of the biggest life insurance policies in the world. And that would make the governor of New York, David Paterson, someone who helped write that insurance policy.
Through a reorganization and further action, jobs will be saved, businesses will be made stable, and certainly our financial recovery will be easier, if not sooner.
Well, $85 billion is what the AIG company gets in loans from the federal government. And David Paterson, the governor of New York, helped to engineer the bailout of AIG, which it is said the collapse of which would send ripples through the financial markets, already reeling from turmoil from the bankruptcy of Lehman Brothers and the acquisition of Merrill Lynch by Bank of America. Joining us now is Michael Hunter, who's a markets reporter for the Financial Times. Does this end a chapter? Is it time to take a breath here, or is there more to come, Michael?
Well, John, no one in London's been able to take much of a breath this morning at all, although we started trading with a huge, widespread breath of relief that AIG had been rescued due to the way it's interconnected right the way throughout the world financial system. The crisis has rolled on in other directions. We've seen an unprecedented spell of volatility in our own banks in London. Two of the biggest banks listed on the FTSE 100 are in emergency merger talks. And the sense of crisis still, I think, is foremost in everyone's mind at the moment.
Is what is driving the market turmoil this morning in London a sense that banks are going to be consolidating there, that we're going to be seeing some acquisitions in London?
Yeah, that's exactly right. HBOS, the UK's biggest mortgage lender, is in merger talks with Lloyds TSB, London, another big London bank known for its conservative approach to lending and its conservative way of running its own balance sheet. But really what we're seeing, I think, not just in London, but over in New York and around the world as well, John, are the way in which traders are struggling to work out exactly what the repercussions of all these different problems with the interconnected world financial system are going to be. People still have yet to get a real proper handle on what the unwinding of Lehman will really mean. Now we know that AIG isn't going to go the same way as Lehman. That's helped to an extent. But the process of finding out exactly how much money is owed to whom, by whom, and under what terms is still going on.
Well, you describe what's going on with such a sense of mystery. I wonder if I could take a contrary view. This is just a simple matter of there's too many banks, and there are going to be fewer of them, and that's the way it is. The amount of money in the economies, they're all secure. It's just there's too many banks, Michael.
I think that's absolutely right, John. And I think we've got a big oversupply of financial services. But when we had interest rates so low for so long, and this tendency for financial innovation to allow a lot of people to make a lot of money very quickly selling mortgage-backed securities and other complex debt products to each other, some very, very clever people lost sight of the fundamentals, which is when interest rates eventually rise after being so low for so long, a lot of people might have problems paying back mortgages. And it really does come back to that kind of simple idea. But the way in which the financial system allowed itself to grow out of control and get so overcomplicated is going to take a very, very long time to knock through and become clear in itself.
And well, Michael, I think that some people would argue that they're actually not that clever. But what has been the response, if any, of Barclays stepping into the Lehman bankruptcy and buying a portion of that business?
Barclays is one of the few London banks where we've seen steady, unturbulent, consistent rises in its share price today. It looks to most London investors, I think it's fair to say, that Barclays has got a real bargain in buying the parts of Lehman which it's moved in to get hold of for $1.57 billion, the broker-dealer operation, the Manhattan headquarters and two data centres. I think that's gone down very well over here. I think Barclays has moved just at the right time and got a good price for what's fundamentally a promising business in many ways.
In fact, it was a no-brainer. I mean, Barclays just said, no, I don't want to buy it today. I'll just wait till they go bankrupt and get it for like a tenth of the value. It was a fabulous proposition.
Very much so. But at the same time, there's still an element of risk involved in some ways putting more of your own business at risk to running that operation and making sure that you can run it properly in these very turbulent and dangerous times as well.
Well, it's a strange business proposition, trying to create value by swallowing things which have marginal or questionable value. Michael Hunter, thanks for sorting it out for us. He's markets reporter for the Financial Times. He spoke with us from London. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, John.
And we need some analysis on this.
I was going to say, we're going to...